Good morning. Welcome. And thank you so much for the young people and that just provided our music and Jill that was leading them. We are very proud of them. I want to welcome our friends that may be worshiping with us today. We know that there are a number that are watching live. As a matter of fact, I just was talking to Santiago and he told me at our prior service there were 100,000 people watching or connected through Facebook with our study time there. And so we're glad that others have chosen to do this. Some watch the rebroadcast. Want to invite you, if you're ever in the Sacramento area, come and worship with us here at Granite Bay. We'd be delighted to meet with you. You know, the one of the most important things in life is your direction. What you're seeking. What are you looking for? And of course, the priority in life would be to seek that which is the most important. Nothing is more important than God. Our message today, seeking after God. I remember when our kids were littler that we would enjoy playing hide and seek. Anyone else do that with your kids or you did that growing up? And, you know, when they're real small, it was, you know, funny because we'd just play in the house. We'd have a very limited place where we could do the hiding. It's a little more fun outside. And, you know, and I'd stand behind the curtains and they'd quickly find me. Or, I'd, you know, my feet are sticking out under the curtains or out from under the couch or whatever it is. And they would just squeal with delight. The idea of finding something that was sought. And I think that the parents enjoy watching the children experience the joy of finding something you have pursued. God wants us to experience the joy of finding the greatest thing that any intelligent being can experience, and that's God. And the New Testament begins with some people that are seeking. And you know the story there. If you look in Matthew chapter 1, it tells us that the wise man, the Magi, had come from the east, somewhere in Mesopotamia. They read the prophecies about Balaam talking about a star arising out of Jacob, and they knew that this was a sign of the coming king, the Messiah, the Savior of the world. And it wasn't just the Jews that believed in this great deliverer that would come. And they came seeking after God. Made a long, arduous journey. They said, "We've seen his star." Now, when all of Jerusalem was stirred up about this, and when Herod heard about this, the king, he was troubled, and all of Jerusalem with him. And he gathered the chief priests and the scribes together and inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said, in Bethlehem. And, you know, of course, Herod then interviewed the wise men, and he said, "When did this star appear? Tell you what, you go to Bethlehem, go search, go seek carefully for the young child, and when you found him, come back, bring me word that I might worship him too." Well, he didn't want to worship him, he wanted to kill him. In fact, you can read a little later where it tells the Joseph and the wise men are told, don't go back to Herod. Joseph and Mary and the family are told to leave Bethlehem because he says, and this is in verse 13, Herod will seek the young child. Now here you get the wise men seeking the child. You got Herod seeking the child. They seek the child to worship him. Herod seeks the child, it says, to destroy him. Seems like everybody was seeking him, but for different reasons. You know, first question you find in the Bible, man runs from God and God says, "Where are you?" The first question that you find in the New Testament is the wise men looking for God and they say, "Where is he?" Now the reason we look for him is because he first looked for us. You know, sometimes we think that, "I found the Lord." A lot of people weren't even looking for God and they say, "I found the Lord." Well, God found you. He gets your attention. But after he's found you, he wants you to seek for him. In the Bible, when it talks about seeking after God, the word seek there is not talking about like an event, it's talking about a process. It's an ongoing search. And if you're going to be a fulfilled believer, we need to be engaged in seeking after God. The wise men sought to worship him. Herod sought to destroy him. Do you know the first words that you find in the Gospel of John and Luke spoken by Jesus involve seeking? It must be a priority with God. Are we seeking after God? You look in Luke 2:49. Jesus said, first words to his parents, "Why did you seek me?" There he was, 12 years old. They misplaced Jesus in the temple. Can you imagine trying to explain to the Father, "We know that you gave us your son, keep an eye on him, and to raise him, we seem to have misplaced him." That would have been a pretty heavy prayer to pray. They lost Jesus. And then they spent days sorrowing, seeking to find him again. You know, sometimes if we take our eyes off Christ, it takes a little longer seeking and sorrowing to find him. If you look in John chapter 1, verse 38, first words of Jesus. Jesus turned and seeing them following, he said to them, "What do you seek?" That's a good question for all of us. What do you seek? Everybody's searching for something. Mark 1:37, "And when they found him, they said to him, 'All men seek for you.'" So it's interesting here, Luke, John, Mark, and Matthew, it all begins with seeking after God. So how do you search for God? Well, he speaks to us through his word. He speaks to us through prayer. He speaks to us through providence. Do you look for God in your day to see how has God led me? Are you hungering and thirsting for God? The whole gospel is about seeking. People search for that which is precious. I remember we had a knock on our door years ago here in town, and one of the neighbors, young mother, she said, "We've lost our little girl." And, you know, we dropped what we were, I didn't say, "Well, look, I'm writing some letters, I can't help you right now. Or I'm doing a search on the internet." We dropped whatever we were doing, and they knocked on the other neighbor's doors, and the whole neighborhood came alive. It probably only took a half an hour, 40 minutes. She was found safe. But it was interesting, the priority, everybody dropped what they were doing to search for a missing child. Because, you know, what's more important than that? What's important? Searching for God. Used to be when I was young, if I found a penny, I felt like I'd found a treasure and I'd pick it up. It used to be worth something. Matter of fact, even Benjamin Franklin said, "Find a penny, pick it up." You know the rest of that? "All the day you'll have good luck." I guess I'm getting old, no one else. So you didn't read Poor Richard's Almanac, did you? Now you drop a penny, you go, matter of fact, you go for change and you say, "Ah." They say, "Oh, you got a penny back." You just keep it, right? Put it in the drawer for someone else that doesn't have a penny. We seek for those things that are valuable. Matthew 13:45. "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls." He's looking for that which is precious. "And when he has found one of great price, he goes and he sells everything to get that which he sought for." What could be worth more than God? There is no treasure that is greater than finding God. Matthew 18, verse 12, Jesus said, "What do you think? A man has 100 sheep and one goes astray. Does he not leave the 99 and go in the mountains and seek for that one that is straying? And if he finds it, assuredly, I tell you, he rejoices more over that sheep than over 99 that did not go astray." Now, if you already have something and then you lose it and you re-find it, then it's like, wow, that's exciting. You're even happier than you were before you lost it. Just something about the searching and the discovery. We're curious creatures. It brings us joy. Jesus left all the unfallen worlds to come find this one fallen planet. Nothing's more important than life. And Jesus is offering us life. And when you're seeking for God, you're seeking for life. You know, here we are, at the time of this broadcast, 2017. Do you know they are still searching for Amelia Earhart? And it was 1937. My dad actually met her. 1937 when her plane went missing. When her plane first went missing, they spent, the government, $250,000 a day for months. Do you know that was a lot of money back then, $250,000, to try to find her. Fascinating. Well, an American icon, a hero, had been lost, and they were doing everything to find that person. Does heaven do less to find us when we're lost? Not only are we seeking for God, don't forget He is seeking for us. Now, how do you seek for that which is valuable? Is it a casual glance or is it a diligent search? I suggest you seek diligently. Again, Jesus shares a parable about seeking. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and search carefully until she finds it? She doesn't search and say, oh, well, I give up. She keeps searching. And when she has found it, she calls her friends and her neighbors. Now, you might be wondering, why would you call your friends and neighbors together and say, you know, I lost that silver dollar and I found it. Let's have a party. Typically, what would happen is when you got married, there were wedding dowry coins that were very precious. And they were kept. You didn't just spend them. And so it's assuming that these were in that category. So it's like a memento of the wedding. And so it's something precious. She calls all her friends again and say, rejoice. You know that coin I was missing? I found it. I found that which was lost. How do we seek diligently? Whenever I sign a book, almost always, I add a scripture, and the scripture is Jeremiah 29:13. Now, if you really want to get the whole thing, you read Jeremiah 29:11-13. But Jeremiah 29:13 says, and you will seek for me, and you will find me, when you search for me with all of your heart. God doesn't want us just to casually search for him, because how important are we? If a lady is going to marry a young man, it seems like it's almost an international custom that they wait to see how interested are you, will you pursue me? And how will you pursue me? And if that young man acts like he's a little indifferent, she figures, not the right man. Don't we all kind of want to be pursued? Don't you want people to want you? I mean, what's the opposite? Don't want you? Does God plant his own desire in our hearts? Does God want to be wanted? You notice Jesus never forced himself on anybody. He said, I stand and I knock, but you've got to open the door. I'm not breaking in. I can, but I'm not going to. I want to be wanted. And how do we show you want? A casual glance or searching with all of your heart? As though nothing is more important than finding God. He will be found when you search with all your heart. He doesn't promise you're going to find him. Some people say, oh, you know, I read the Bible. And usually, as I didn't get anything out of it, usually that means they opened it up, they cracked it, they put their finger down, they read a verse and said, oh, I don't know what that means. They closed it and said, yeah, I read the Bible. I've had people say, oh, I know the Bible. I say, yeah, quote me a verse. And not too many of them can actually quote you very much. So they didn't really seek for God. We need to search diligently. The diligent search, now this is encouraging. God promises that that diligent search will be rewarded. You will not come up empty. Hebrews 11:6, without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of those that search for him diligently. He promises that reward for you. Now that's encouraging. He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. God promises, if you search for me, I will reward you. You will get what you look for. Luke 11:9, and I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. What's the rest of that? Seek and you will find. He's promising us. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And for him who knocks, it will be opened. So is it worth searching for God? You think, oh man, you spent all that money for search and didn't find anything. I forget how much they spent, but there was that plane that went down. You know, it was a Malaysian plane, and it just kind of went off the radar, and it looks like, my opinion was there was smoke in the cabin. It had all the signs of that, and people all passed out in the plane. They were trying to turn back and land, and it just ran out of fuel and went off in the middle of the most remote part of the South Pacific, there by the Arctic, And they never have found the transponder. They found pieces of the plane. But do you know how much money they spent? Millions and millions of dollars combing the ocean to find a plane. They didn't even believe anyone was alive, but they were just trying to get the answers. People are curious, searching and searching and coming up empty. How disappointing that must have been. But God says that won't happen with you. If you search for Him, you will find. Therefore, Jesus said, Matthew 6:31, don't worry saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what will we wear? But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things will be added. You know what that means? What are the other things? What does most of the world seek for? I was driving a couple of days ago. I was telling Pastor Ross about this. And driving down the freeway, a lot of traffic, coming back from San Francisco, I saw one or two bills of currency. It happened so quickly, I didn't know if they were ones or 20s or hundreds, but it was clearly money went by my windshield. You know what my reaction was? Stop. But I was surrounded by cars. And I thought, well, it's money in the air. It was just fluttering there. And I told Pastor Ross, I said, you know, if you went at one of these overpasses on Interstate 80 and you dropped $50 and $1 bills fluttering down over the overpass, you would cause an instant gridlock, probably an accident, even though they're only $1 bills. Because people would see that and go, it's raining money, and they'd all slam on their brakes. Why? Everybody's searching for something. What is most of the world searching for? Not for God. When the wise men came into Jerusalem, everyone said, you're looking for what? They said, we're not even Jews. He's your king. He's the king of the Jews. Where is he? Oh, you know who God revealed himself to? The ones who were searching for him. A few shepherds in the field, some Gentiles from afar, some local Jews, and the rest of the people were preoccupied with other pursuits. So what are you searching for? They weren't searching for God. Let me give you a promise. He says, seek first the kingdom of God. All the other things you worry about, what will I eat, and what will I drink, and what will I wear, and the other basics of life, he says, you'll get those things, but don't let that be your priority. Seek first the kingdom. Now here's a verse that I really enjoy. It speaks about King Uzzah. When you talk about the kings in the Bible, you got typically they're good kings and then there's bad kings. So when you hear me talk about King Uzzah or Uzziah, was he a good king or bad king? Mostly good king. He really blundered something particular, but otherwise it says he was a good king, blessed by God, became very strong. So he made these war machines. Only time that's mentioned in the Bible. He had engineers that built these incredible war machines, and all the other nations were afraid of him. And he built up the kingdom. He was a great builder. He reigned for over 50 years. But when he became prosperous, he made a mistake. But up until then, listen to what it says. 2 Chronicles 26:5. You might want this because it's a good promise. He, Uzziah, sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding of visions of God. Now notice, and as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. Anyone out there want to prosper? I'm not a prosperity preacher, but this is a promise here. As long as he sought the Lord, he made him to prosper. Doesn't say as long as he sought money, he prospered. As long as he sought the Lord, he seemed to have the other. It doesn't say he sought victory over his enemies and he prospered. He sought the Lord and he got victory over his enemies. He made God the priority in his life, and all the other things were added to him. You know, the story about Solomon. It says, Solomon loved the Lord. I think it's 1 Kings chapter 3. Walking in all the commandments of the Lord. God appeared to Solomon at night in a dream. Said, what shall I give you? So what would you say? Solomon could have said, well, you know, I'd really like to be a billionaire. He could have said, we got these other enemies. We'd like to totally subdue them. I would like long life, good looks, beautiful spouse. He didn't just want one. He ended up with 700. That's right. It's 300 concubines and 700 wives, or vice versa. It doesn't matter at that point. But anyway, So what does he say? He says, Lord, I'm just a child. I don't know how to go out or come in. I need wisdom to govern this people of you. In other words, I want to be a good king. I'm seeking your kingdom. And when he sought the kingdom of God as the first thing he asked for, God said, because you have not asked for silver and gold and all these other things, because the first thing you were pursuing was me, because when you ask for wisdom from God, you're asking for the Spirit of God, you're asking for God. Because you're making me the priority, I will give you everything else. As long as Uzziah sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. Everybody's searching for something. Promises, if you seek, you'll find. You look for the wrong things, you might find the wrong things. Now, the weak do not seek. I just did that so it would rhyme and you'd remember it. The wicked don't seek God. Psalm 10, verse 4. The wicked in his proud countenance does not seek God. God is in none of his thoughts. Now right there, that tells you something about seeking God. Seeking God means God is where? In your thoughts. So seeking after the Lord doesn't mean you go on a lengthy pilgrimage. We may be going to Israel later this year, but we're not going to go there to look for God. It'll be educational. Some people go on pilgrimages to Mecca or different places, and that's their idea of seeking God. Luther went to Rome on a pilgrimage, and he was finally climbing the steps. He said, what am I doing here? He found God in the Word of God. And so that's where you're going to find him. The wicked, God is not in their thoughts. Many are going to be lost while hoping and desiring to be saved because they did not really seek after God. Another thing to remember is it's the weak who do not seek God. Those who are seeking God seem to keep further away from the devil, because you're going away from the devil when you're seeking God. Does that make sense? Someone once said, when the gazelle wakes up in Africa, it must outrun the fastest lion or die. When a lion wakes up, it needs to run faster than the slowest gazelle, or it starves. Charles Spurgeon, the preacher, wrote, if you are not seeking the Lord, the devil is seeking you. If you are not seeking the Lord, judgment is at your heels. In the Christian life, it's not simply enough to wake up. We are called to run to become more like Christ and to press ahead in godliness. And a lot of seeking that we do these days is on the internet. And it's sort of like, it's almost instant gratification, where people would search for things before and it was an investment. I would look up one word. I had this big Young's Concordance, and there was 5,000 times that word appeared in the Bible. I have to go through them, and the print was that big. Any of you ever used the old Young's Concordance or the Strong's Concordance? And when you found a verse, you went, Eureka! I found the verse I was looking for. Now you just go to Google. I've got Bible software. I just go to Google now. It's almost as fast. Type in part of the verse, boom, it's there. By the way, do you know why Bible verses pop up so quickly on Google? Because Google uses an algorithm where they look at what other people are looking for and they make that on the top of the list. Bible verses are one of the first things that will pop up in Google because people all over the world are typing in Bible religious searches. Did you know that? Now, don't recommend you abandon your Bible software, but you'd be surprised how quickly you can find things that way. People find what they're looking for. You know, every day in Sacramento, you will have two birds that are flying over the country. One is a hummingbird, and one is a vulture. The hummingbird is always looking for that which is bright and sweet. The vulture is also searching, but it's always searching for something that is stinking and dead. They're flying over the same country, but they're looking for very different things because of the essence of what the birds are. So what are you searching for? Are you seeking after that which is going to give you life? While you're searching, make sure you're searching in the right spot. You know, the American government has spent $4.7 billion building a tool to scan the heavens. It's called the Hubble Telescope. Did you know that you spent $4.7 billion on that? Nobody got an extra meal because of that investment. Was it a waste? No. Why are they doing it? Why would a government spend $4.7 billion on a telescope to get a deeper look at galaxies? Humans are curious creatures. You know, ostensibly they say we built the Hubble because we're trying to find out the origins of the universe. In other words, where did we come from? So we're looking up in the heavens, we're spending all this money, and they're getting ready to build a bigger one now called the James Webb Telescope, James Webb. And the mirrors on it are as big as a tennis court. It's huge. It's actually just going to unfold like an accordion up there in space. Why are we spending all that? We're looking up to the heavens. We're wondering, is there intelligent life out there? And God, from the heavens, he looks down to earth and he says, is there intelligent life down there? But people do it because they're searching, right? I'm frankly glad that they did it. I'm fascinated with it. Ponce de Leon, he crossed oceans because he had heard in Puerto Rico that there was an island called Bimini that had a fountain that would give you perpetual youth. So he went in pursuit of a perpetual youth. By the way, when you read in the Bible, you can find perpetual youth there. They shall run and not be weary. They will walk and not faint. They will mount up with wings like the eagles. Talk about eternal life. Columbus, he was looking for a way to the Indies, and he got to America. He said, oh, I found it. He didn't realize there was a continent still blocking the Indies. Sometimes we look in the wrong place for things. I read one time about a policeman who came on a man one night. He was down on his hands and knees underneath a street light, and the policeman said, can I help you? Well, the man evidently was inebriated. He said, I lost my keys. And so the policeman, he looked around for the guy's keys for a while, and he couldn't find them. He said, are you sure you lost them here? He said, no. He said, I actually lost them over there, but the light's over here. He was seeking, but he wasn't seeking where you should really be looking. So where do you look for God? In the horoscope? Where do you look for God? This is not far from any one of us. When it says, you'll search for me and you'll find me, are you spending time searching for God? Do you seek for him? Just kind of give the Bible a casual glance. How do you find God? On your knees? You find him when you look at the scenes of the cross? We find him through prayer? That doesn't mean you spend your day going around on your knees. It's talking about an attitude of your mind where you're looking for God in things that happen during the day. Do you look for God? You say, that was a God thing. Thank you, Lord, that that happened. Kind of like the children's story we just heard, that car could have broke down anywhere, but it broke down in the driveway. I mean, I've had that experience before where you just say, that was a God. I have it all the time. I see things. I see God in all kinds of things because he's real. I'll be talking to a person, and I'll forget their name. And I know it's embarrassing. I should know them, but I just can't remember their name. And I'm talking to them. I'll pray. I'll say, Lord, help them or somebody else say their name. Someone will walk by and say, hey, good seeing you, Bob. I say, yeah, Bob, it's good to see you. I say, thank you, Lord. I mean, just you see answers to prayer, and that's evidence of God just all the time. All around us. God is real, friends. We need priorities in seeking. I already read this to you. But seek ye first what? The kingdom of God and his righteousness. If your house was on the fire and you had to quickly run through your house, a lot of people are facing that kind of decision even today. And some of us in the area have faced that decision. We've got families here that lost everything in the fire. The fire's up north. What would you take out of your house? Well, if you have children, let's assume they'd be the first thing that you take. People say photographs. Others would get their pets. What would be your priority? Seek first the kingdom of God. You know, it's an interesting verse, Psalm 34:10. The young lions lack and they suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord will never lack any good thing. That's another good promise, isn't it? We talked about King Uzziah. As long as he sought the Lord, he prospered. Here's another one. Those that seek the Lord will never lack any good thing. You know, lion cubs kind of depend on their parents to feed them. And the young lions, parents might not bring anything home and they get hungry, but you've got a heavenly Father that will never leave you. King David said, I was young and now I'm old, and I've not seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. You need to seek the priorities. Dr. Henry Drummond, great theologian, said, above all things, do not touch Christianity unless you're willing to seek the kingdom of God first. I promise you a miserable existence if you seek it second. Steps to Christ, the book says something like that too. That your religion will be a drudgery unless it's a priority. Did you get that? That's not in Steps to Christ, I made that up. But the idea is that your religion will be a drudgery if it is not a priority. Unless you really believe, then you'll be satisfied. Years ago, executives from the Standard Oil Company were expanding their work in Indonesia. And they were looking for the right man that could be a liaison between the government officials that understood the culture, that could help them expand their business and get the permits they needed to continue drilling and exploring in Indonesia. And it was a very promising field. They were ready to invest. And word came back, they said, you know, the brightest guy in the country is a missionary. He grew up here, he speaks the language, he knows the custom, the people respect him. So they went to the missionary and they said, we'd like to have you come work for the Standard Oil Company as our liaison with the government. He said, thank you, no thank you. They said, well, you haven't heard what the package is. He said, we're going to give you $30,000 a year. This is years ago when that was a lot of money, talking about the turn of the century. And he said, well, thank you very much, but no thank you. And they went back and they came back to him again. They said, we've talked, and since he turned them down so quickly the first time, they thought they must not be even near the right price. So they bumped it up $20,000, which again, is a phenomenal amount of money back then. And it would have been like, you know, getting a $500,000 a year salary today. And they said, we're going to give you $50,000 and all these benefits. He said, thank you, it's very kind, but no thank you. They came back to him a third time and they raised it some astronomical number and more benefits. He said, I really appreciate it. He says, but you're not understanding. It's not that your pay isn't enough. He says, the job isn't big enough. He says, I'm working for God now. How are you going to top that? He said, you can't offer me enough. He says, I'm doing what God wants me to do. So his priority was what? It was seeking first the kingdom of God. What is your priority? You're looking for El Dorado here in this world? Jesus 6:26, he answered and he said to them, most assuredly I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves. The Lord knew that some people were seeking him for the temporal benefits. He said, hey, you know, he tends to feed people. You get a fish sandwich at least, you know. If you follow Jesus around, you get hungry. There's leftovers. Everyone got all you want. Stick with him. They use that expression, rice Christians. You ever heard that before? We've discovered in evangelism that if you have a meeting and you offer food with the meeting, attendance goes up. It's a fact. Is that the right reason to seek him? Seek him nearby. The Bible says in Acts 17:20, you don't have to go far to find him. That if they should seek the Lord, if happily they might feel after him and find him, though he's not far from every one of us, you don't have to go very far to find him. I heard about Thomas Edison. He came to his team of scientists he had there in New Jersey at his discovery factory, and he said, look, we've got to find, he had a piece of rubber in his hand. He says, we've got to find something that will dissolve rubber. It's an amazing material, but we've got a need to be able to dissolve it too. And they said, got it, boss. And they sat down and they got out their chemical formulas and they started to decipher and they got some books open and they tried to understand the atoms and molecules and rubber, and they did all this research. And he came to him and he said, you got that solvent yet? They said, no, we're working on it. And he got frustrated. He went out and he got a piece of rubber. I think he cut up like an inner tube into a bunch of little strips. And he went to his factory and he had jar after jar of chemicals in this warehouse, a big, big warehouse full of chemicals. And he went from one jar to the other. He stuck the rubber in, he pulled it out. He said, no, that's not the one. He closed it. He stuck the rubber and he pulled it. And he did this for days, I think. And he stuck the rubber in. and it dissolved. He said, ah, what's that? That'll work. And he found it that way. It was right there. They were doing all these extensive this research, and it was right there. I remember reading a story from history about a man that lived in India in the 15th century. His name was Ali Hafed. And he had a beautiful piece of property there in India, had a family, had a farm, and a Buddhist monk came to him once, and he showed him a diamond. He said, yeah, they are finding diamonds like this in Africa. And he said, the farmers that are finding diamonds on their land are becoming fabulously wealthy. And Ali Hafed thought, I need to find diamonds. And he told his family, he says, I'm going to go find diamonds. And he left them. He went to Africa. He searched all over Africa. Modest success. Didn't find any diamonds. His family ultimately had to sell the farm, and his other relatives took over his children, and he just abandoned them. He made his way around Africa. He's looking for diamonds, spent years looking for diamonds. He went to Barcelona, Spain, went around Europe. I'm making a long story short. Never did find these dreams of diamonds that he wanted to find. He finally threw himself off a cliff into Barcelona Bay and died flat broke. A couple of years later, they discovered diamonds on his land. And it became these famous mines in India. Matter of fact, all of the jewels, not all, or most of the diamonds that are in the British crown jewels and the Russian crown jewels came from the diamond mines that were on Ali Hafed's property. And it was right there. He said, I'm not very far. If you want to seek me, you don't have to go on a pilgrimage across the world. He's nearby. And we're to seek his face. In order to first seek the kingdom, we must begin by seeking the king. Psalm 27, verse 8. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, Lord, your face I will seek. In 1 Chronicles, and you know this one, 2 Chronicles, rather, 7:14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and do what? Seek my face and turn from their ways. You know, you cannot turn from your wicked ways unless you're seeking God. Then I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin. I will heal their land. Psalm 105, verse 3, glory in his name. Let the heart of them that rejoice seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face forevermore. God wants to be pursued. Psalm 77, verse 2, in the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. Now, we all kind of seek God when we're in trouble, don't we? Psalm 40, verse 16, let all those who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. There's rejoicing, there's gladness, there's reward in seeking God. Don't wait too long before you make seeking God a priority, because it is time sensitive. Isaiah 55, verse 6, seek the Lord while he may be found. There's a time when it'll be too late. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way. Now it talks about part of what's involved in seeking the Lord. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. It's in our thoughts we seek him. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. We must seek him early. You know, the five foolish virgins went seeking for oil, but it was too late, wasn't it, when they finally went? Proverbs 8:17, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early will find me. Some people say, well, I'm going to live for the world. I'm going to live for the devil while I'm young. And when I get old and I can't enjoy sin anymore, then I'll seek after God. Or you might find it's too late. You've lost your capacity. Seek him while it's early. Psalm 63, verse 1 and 2. O God, you are my God. Early I will seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you. Can you tell David spent a life looking for God? So I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory. Jesus said, Luke 13:24, strive to enter through the narrow gate, for I say to you that many will seek to enter and not be able. In other words, do it now, because the day is going to come where it'll be too late and they'll not be able. And here's the last verse. Zephaniah 2, verse 3. Seek the Lord, all you meek of the earth, who have upheld his justice. Seek righteousness. Seek humility. This is part of seeking God. It may be, catch this, you will be hidden in the day of the Lord's anger. Who's going to be protected in the last days? The ones who are seeking after God now, that are seeking his, seek first his kingdom and his what? His righteousness. Seeking to do God's will. You know, I love history, as you probably have gathered. And I remember reading a story about David Livingstone. He was a very successful explorer. He went to Africa to be a missionary, but he ended up being more of an explorer than anything. And while he was going across Africa, he discovered a lot of interesting routes. And he made a few trips back to Britain, and they were just amazed at what he told them about Africa. He told stories of, he said, you know, I've seen the smoke rising from 1,000 villages, not just huts, 1,000 villages that know nothing about Jesus. And it created a great stir of evangelism, and he kind of stunned England when he came. And then he returned to Africa, and the correspondence stopped, and years went by, and nobody heard from Livingstone. And so the paper owner of the New York Herald got it in his head that they wanted to find out whether Livingstone was even still alive. So he hired someone who had been on some already daring expeditions. He was an English-American, born in England, lived in America, writer named Henry M. Stanley. And he said he would pay all the expenses for him to get a big expedition together and go into the interior of Africa that was largely unknown by Europeans, see if he could find if Livingstone was still alive. And they invested thousands and thousands of pounds to do this. In 1869... Stanley took off looking for Africa. He ended up taking a whole caravan of people with him. There were porters carrying tons and tons of gear. It's amazing how much they took with them and how heavy everything was back then. He actually brought with him 180 pounds of books that the porters had to carry. This is Henry Stanley. He had a library that they were carrying. On one of his expeditions, he had over 200 porters that were carrying the baggage, and they're making their way slowly into the interior of Africa. And along the way, it says, little by little, some of the porters became sick. One of his expeditions, 50%, he started with 200 people, ended up with 100. They died or abandoned the expedition. And he had to start throwing away books because no one would carry him. At the end of his expedition, he was down to one book. You know what book he kept? The Bible was the only thing he kept. You know the story when he finally did find Livingstone there in a village in South Africa. You know, he's surrounded by all these Africans, and here's this one white man, and he goes up and ostensibly says these historic words where, Dr. Livingstone, I presume. I mean, who else was it going to be? And here's his report. He was not a believer. His mission was to find Livingstone, which he did, and he spent quite a bit of time with him. But here's what Stanley writes on that. I went to Africa. Oh, another little amazing fact. You like amazing facts? Stanley was English. He came to America during the Civil War. He joined the South and fought for the South. He was captured by the South, and then he joined the North, and he fought for the North, and then he enlisted in the American Navy. As far as we know, he's the only one who fought for the North, he fought for the South, and was in the U.S. Navy. And he was English. He's an interesting guy. He said, I went to Africa as prejudiced as the biggest atheist in London. But there came for me a long time of reflection, for I saw this solitary old man there, and I asked myself, how on earth does he choose to stop here? Is he crazy or what? He actually says, is he cracked or what? What is it that inspires him? For months after we met, I found myself wondering at the old man carrying out all that was said in the Bible, leave all things and follow me. But little by little, his sympathy for others became contagious. My sympathy was aroused. Seeing his piety, his gentleness, his zeal, his earnestness, how he went about his business, I was converted by him, although he had not tried to do it. When I saw that unwearied patience, that unflagging zeal, those enlightened sons of Africa, I became a Christian at his side, though he never spoke one word. He didn't try and preach to him. He went seeking for a man, and he ended up finding faith in the process. As you seek for God, you're going to be finding your faith. You're going to be finding what your purpose is. Everything else that's important. You know what the Bible says? If you want to know God's will, commit your way to the Lord. Seek first his kingdom. He guides you in everything else. If you say, Lord, searching for you, knowing you, is going to be my priority. I remember I used to have a bumper sticker on my car. It said, wise men still seek him. And if you want to have the blessings and the rewards that God promises, I pray that you'll choose to seek him too. We're going to sing a song that's number 458, More Love to Thee. And you'll notice in particular in the second verse, it talks about seeking after God. Let's stand as we sing 458, More Love to Thee.